Spirit's voice. You know he's going to speak in ways that will enlighten you. You will have wisdom that you know is from God because he cares about you so much. And he knows about everything that you're going through in your life right now. Did you know that? You could say, oh, my life is totally fine and dandy right now. Well, God knows about that. Or you could say, well, my life isn't going exactly as I want it. Well, God knows about that too. But as your heart is submitted to him, you know he's going to make things happen for your life in which you know you'll be truly blessed in every way. Amen? Why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just come into your most awesome and holy presence, and our hearts are fully submitted to you. And I pray right now that truly your presence will abound in this very place, knowing that we truly desire your word. We truly would let your presence just fill this place, fill our minds, fill our hearts, because, Lord, we want it to be your way. And no other way but your way alone. Because, Father, we know your heart's desire is to bless your children. So we come to you now saying, Lord, have your way. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, several weeks ago, you know we started a new sermon series. What is it called? Extremely what? Dangerous prayers. And so far, all the prayers that we covered were prayed by men of God, right? Such as who? Can you think of some names? King David, right? The prophets, Jeremiah and Elijah. And last week we talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? And wouldn't you say it's about time that we threw a godly woman into this mix of people with extremely dangerous prayers? Would you like that? Well, today we're going to explore a prayer that was prayed by a woman named Hannah. And it is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And let me first tell you a little about this woman named Hannah. Hannah was a woman in the Bible that was married to a man named Elkanah, who also had another wife named Peninnah. Yes, he had another wife. And yeah, it was something that was allowed during that time, right? But anyway, she wanted to bear a child with her husband more than anything. This is what Hannah desired, right? But she had the heartache of not being able to conceive. As the scriptures indicated, this is what the Bible says, the Lord had closed her womb. Where her rival, Peninnah, ridiculed and tormented her night and day because of her inability to bear children. Said, look at you, I get plenty of babies. You don't want nothing, right? And so Hannah desperately desired to be a mom in the worst way. And we're going to look at her story today in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 20, and discover why her prayer to God will be considered an extremely dangerous prayer. So I'm going to read to you, starting at verse 1. You're going to come in at verse 10. So just listen right now. Just kind of look up and just listen to what went on. It says here, starting at verse 1, there was a certain man named from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, the rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and she would not eat. And her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why aren't you weeping? Well, I said, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you then 10 sons? Sounds like what a man would say, right? But once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. Okay, this is where you can look now in verse 10. It says, in her what? Deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. What happened? She was weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And verse 12, it says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Verse 15 says, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord, what does it say there? Remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, because I asked the Lord for him. And as you read her prayer, you realize there's a certain level of intensity about how she cried out to the Lord. As the verse says, that she was in what? Deep anguish, and she wept bitterly, okay? I got to tell you something. For any prayer that is a desperate cry for help from his children, right, it is an extremely dangerous prayer. You know why? Because we know Father God is going to do whatever he can. He's going to move mountains to answer his beloved ones. And guess what? If the devil or his demons try to interfere, guess what? They're about to be crushed. Because you know how passionate Father God is about his children. Amen? So it is an extremely dangerous prayer in a good way for us as children of God, right? And very, very bad for the devil and the demon spirits. So here's the question. What made Hannah's prayer extremely dangerous? Well, look at number one. It says, Hannah persistently prayed her prayer with what? Great humility. And remember, last week we talked about the tax collector. He had great humility, and that's what made it an extremely dangerous prayer. Look at verse 11 again. This time, read it with me. Ready? Go. Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and what? Remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Not like God forgotten her, but you know what? She felt that way. And she was being honest with him. Notice here, though, that Hannah still refers to herself as a servant of God, who is experiencing great grief and misery, not showing any signs of bitterness or hatred towards God. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, for many people, when they are at a point of extreme distress, right, they're just experiencing one thing after the other, just causing them a lot of sadness, a lot of grief. They often make demands upon God and give him an ultimatum. And I heard these ultimatums many a times. They would say things like, God, if you don't do this for me, we are through. I'm no longer believing in you. I'm going to go and try to do things on my own, or I'm going to go to another religion and see if maybe that God can help me. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I heard this before, but not Hannah. Instead, she says, God, look upon my misery and remember me. Not demanding anything, but humbly putting in a request to God for something that her heart longed for. That's what we got to do. When we go to God, we go with great humility. We don't demand anything from God. It was a plea to God. And she believed that he could easily turn things around for her and make it all good by blessing her with a son. But she knew it was only him that could do it. This is what the scripture says. Look at Psalm 37:4. Read that with me. Ready? Go, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you take delight in the Lord? Yeah, she looked like she was pretty broken, but she still took delight in the Lord because she held on to her faith and she still believed in God with all of her heart. And even though her husband encouraged her and loved her, right, as the scripture tells us, we know he saw her pain, and she knew deep in her heart, though, that only God would be the one that can give her the desire that was deep in her heart. As much as she knew her husband loved her, and probably other people that had given her great support, she only knew that God would be the one that could give her exactly what she wanted and needed. She was persistent in her dependence and trust in God, and that she knew that God would not disappoint her. And she persisted in the face of persecution and ridicule as her rival, Peninnah, right, was merciless in mocking and taunting her. She persisted even in the presence of the high priest Eli, right, who saw her lips moving as she prayed, and he thought, oh, there's the one drunk lady over there, right? She still persisted, you know, even though the priest thought she was drunk. And when God saw that the heart of Hannah was true to him, he blessed her and granted what she wished for. And we are to be persistent in this kind of way because we're showing to God, yeah, I'm that dependent on you, Father God. And you know, Jesus taught us to be persistent like this, as in the case of the widow, okay? This is in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. This is not in your notes, but just listen for now. Just listen what it says here. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Okay, I want you to look in your notes now. Verse 6, it says, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will what? Surely give justice to his chosen people. Are you God's chosen people? Oh yeah, you are. Who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting it off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? You know what? Be persistent about your prayers. Keep going to God. Don't ever say, hopeless already. No. No such word. I'm going to tell you, no such word as hopeless in the Christian vocabulary. Because you believe in God, yes, there is always hope. You have to trust in him with all of your heart. And when you are persistent with God, he knows that your heart is totally dependent on him. Amen? And when God knows this, he's going to deliver upon his promises. He will. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Rejoice always. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Okay. This is something we got to realize as Christians. We got to do these very three things. We got to rejoice. How often? Always. Even through the hard times, even through the difficult times. Oh, yeah. You know why? Because God's joy never leaves you. Amen? As you look to him, his joy will come upon you. You're going to know he's there with you. And that's why he says, pray without ceasing. Is that possible? Just pray without stopping at all? Well, you know, just make it a point. Every point that you experience in your day, keep looking to him. Something happens, start praying. You know, something good happens, praise him. And something happens where you're a little confused, look to him, ask of him. And he says, in everything, give what? Thanks. Give him thanks. Yes, even before you get what you are asking for, because he's going to give his best regardless, right? So just thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, knowing that you're going to take care of this. And it says, for this is what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you is to rejoice, to pray without ceasing, and to be a thankful person. And if you can do these three things, guess what? You're in the will of God. And God is going to deliver upon whatever your heart's desire. You see what I'm trying to show you here? A lot of times we don't get what we ask for because we're not rejoicing. We're not really praying to God. We just kind of go, okay, I just ask this, I guess, Lord. No, pray from your heart and give thanks to him. And just see how God will deliver upon his promises. Amen? And, you know, her lesson to all of us is to pray persistently. That's what Hannah did. And, yeah, she got what, you know, she asked of God. And the Bible says that if we pray according to the will of God, he hears us and he grants us what we have asked. This is what the Bible says. This is what the promise of God is. So, you know what? You want to be in the will of God? Do those very three things that we just talked about. I'm going to tell you about this three-year-old boy. He went to the grocery store with his mother, and before they entered the grocery store, the mother said to him, now listen, you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask, okay? So she put him in the cart, and he sat, you know, in the little child seat while she wheeled him down the aisles. And he was just doing fine, right, until they came upon the cookie section. And you know how that goes, right? Come on, even for us, right? He saw the chocolate chip cookies, and he stood up in the seat and said, Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies, please? And she said, I told you not even to ask. You're not going to get any at all. So he just sat right back down. So they continued down the aisles, but in the search for certain items, right, they ended up right back into the cookie aisle. And once again came the question, Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? And she said, I told you that you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet. And finally, right, they were approaching the checkout lane. And the little boy sensed, okay, this may be his last chance, okay? So just before they got to the line, he stood up on the seat of the cart, right? And he shouted in the loudest voice, in the name of Jesus, may I please have some chocolate chip cookies, please? You know, everybody in the store, right, they just looked at the boy and they just laughed, right? Some even applauded. And due to the generosity of the other shoppers, right, this little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. So what can we learn about this? We ought to always pray and not give up. When you go to Papa God like this, keep asking, because if it's in his will, yeah, he's going to deliver on it. He will. You must have this kind of faith. You must. And just watch what God will do. Amen? I want you to look at Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 36. Read that with me. Ready? Go. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be what? Richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Don't throw away your confidence. Confidence in what? In him, in Papa God, Father God. You got to have great confidence in him, knowing that he will not fail you. He will not let you down because you are his precious child. Amen? And he loves you more than you shall ever know. So you need to persevere and just watch how your Father God will come through for you. You know, God had a plan for Samuel before the beginning of time. That's what the Bible tells. Even before the beginning of time, he knew exactly what he had planned out for your life. The question is, are you going to do what you know the Holy Spirit is telling you to do? You know, Hannah was completely convinced that God was capable of opening up her womb, because the Bible says that God had closed it, right? But She knew. She just had to ask. As a child of God, we just simply ask. And that God would use her son to his glory, of which he did. And, you know, Samuel went on to become the last judge of Israel and anointed both Saul and David as kings of Israel. Can you imagine that? And so we know, you know, sometimes we kind of look at our situation and we kind of think, okay, there's nothing that can be done about it. You know, it's just hopeless, you know. Start looking to God. Start turning your eyes towards heaven. The Bible says, look upon Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. Amen? Start looking to him. Don't look down. There's nothing to be looking at the floor. Look up and know that God, he loves you. Know that God's hand is reaching towards you if you keep trusting in him, believing in him. Amen? And we know we got to pray with this persistent intent, because you know what? A miracle just may happen. A miracle that can only come from God. Can I hear amen to that? Amen. Look at number two. It says here, Hannah prayed her prayer with, what does it say there? A great purpose in mind. And verse 11, right? Just read that with me. Ready? Go. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head, because he's going to be a servant of God, right? And Hannah did not simply pray for just a son, but one who would grow up to be what? A servant of God. That's what was in her heart. I don't think she said that lightly. She really meant it. I want my child to be your servant, Lord God. That's the promise, right, that she had to give him over to the service of the temple after he was weaned. And let's just stop there for a moment, okay? She prayed for this boy and then gave him over when he was weaned. That's probably what, 2 or 3 years old? Yeah? Wow, can you imagine that? I can't imagine what it must have been like, right, for Samuel's mother to do that after probably, you know, praying for him, nurturing him for so long, you know, nursing him and rejoicing that, you know, God had provided her with this beautiful child. And now it's just like, okay, here he is, right? And she did it, right? She did it anyway, knowing that she had to keep her promise to God. And she knew that this was God's will for her son. And that is really why Samuel had given, that's why Samuel was given to her in the first place. Because, you know, God knew that ultimately Samuel would be the servant, right? The servant who would serve him faithfully and wholeheartedly. And, you know, think about this. In the same way, Jesus, he surrendered to the will of his Father. And that's what we need to do. We got to come every day surrendered to the will of our Father God. We got to tell God, not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will be done. Because if you kind of get the mindset, okay, I still believe it's my way, you know, it's just like I want to do what I want to do. Well, if you still live a life like that, you'll never experience the fullness of God's blessings in your life. Your heart has to be surrendered to him. Amen. I want you to look at Matthew 26:42 and see what Jesus says here. Okay, read it with me. Ready? Go. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And, you know, I mean, Jesus, he was at that point where the Bible even said, you know, he was shedding tears of blood. I mean, it was agonizing for him. But, you know, he realized it's not my will. It's my Father's will that has to be done. And God already knew beforehand that Hannah would be faithful, you know, to her promise. And that is why God honored her request. Because a lot of times you say, okay, God, you do this. I promise. I'm going to do this back for you. The question is, are you really going to do it? Or you just said that because you want something really bad? No, when we make promise to God, you make sure it's from your heart. Because otherwise, you know, God already knows that you don't really mean it. And that's why we wonder, how come God didn't give me what I asked for? It really has to be something that you know you really mean. and you really believe that God, he will do it because it's according to his will. Amen. I want you to look at this next scripture in James 4:3. Read that with me. Ready? Go. And even when you ask, you don't get it because what? Your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And that's what it is. God, boom, he looks right into your heart. Remember I talked about that last week, a laser beam. When you ask for something, he looks at your heart and says, okay, I know what you're thinking. We cannot hide that from God. You know, you can say, oh, I do this because I know that I can bless others. Well, God knows. No, you're really wanting to be blessed yourself. Come on, God knows. But if God sees that your heart is sincere and genuine, yeah, he will let this blessing come forth in your life. But don't try to fake it. Don't try to make up something that you know is untrue. Yeah, be honest with God. Amen? And God, he will see it. He will see it. Well, back to our point. You know, Hannah could have said, Lord, give me a son so I can be happy, right? Or she could have said, give me a son so my husband will be happy. Or she could have said, give me a son so I can shut up the other woman over there, right? Who's giving me such a hard time, right? Just give me a son. Come on, God, just give me a son already. Come on. No, hold back, God. Come on, just lay it on me, right? But no, Hannah, she went beyond that. She knew what she wanted, and she prayed purposefully for it with an honest intent. When she prayed that, she meant it. I'm going to give him right back to you, God. And when we need something specific from God, you know, try not to be vague or unclear in our prayers. Tell him exactly what you need. Sometimes it's excellent to be specific, because when that specific thing comes to you, you realize it's only God and God alone. You know, because when we pray general, you forget, right? Pray specifically. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, pray specifically. You'll be surprised, okay? Because, yes, he already knows your every need. But when you ask specifically, he will answer specifically. And all the glory will be given to him. Let me tell you about this story here. It's a true story. You know, this Christian author, I don't know if you probably heard of him. His name is Josh McDowell, okay? And while he was attending seminary in California, his father went home to be with the Lord, okay? And his mother had died years earlier, but Josh was not sure of her salvation. You know, he became so depressed, you know, thinking that she might be lost. And question was she a Christian or not? And this thought just obsessed his mind. And he prayed. He said, Lord, somehow, will you just give me the answer, Lord, so I can get back to normal? I just got to know. And it seemed like a totally impossible request. Well, you know what happened? 2 days later, you know, Josh, he drove out to the ocean. You know, he just needed some time to himself. And he walked to the end of the pier just to be alone with God. But as he got to the end, he realized there was this old woman that was sitting in a lawn chair, and she was just fishing, you know. Never seen this lady before. And this lady asked him, so where is your home originally? And Josh replied, Michigan, Union City. Nobody's heard of it. I tell people it's a suburb of, and then the woman just interrupted. It's a suburb of Battle Creek. I had a cousin from there. And the woman asked him, did you know the McDowell family? And Josh, he was kind of stunned. And he said, yeah, I'm Josh McDowell. And the woman says, I can't believe it. I'm a cousin to your mother. And so Josh just asked her this question. I just want to know, do you remember anything at all about my mother's spiritual life? And this lady said, why, sure. Your mom and I were just girls, teenagers, when a tent revival had come to town. It was the fourth night. We both went forward to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. And Josh, he just yelled out, praise God! and startled all the other fishermen, you know, that was there. But the point is, ask and you will receive. Don't ever think, oh, it's impossible. Because think about this. How could this happen? Well, because he asked. And God, he delivered. I'm going to tell you, you're going to see a lot of impossible things, you know, that will happen in your life. I mean, impossible in the eyes of man, or impossible, you know, in your mind. You think, oh, it can never happen. Just try it. Seriously. Try it and see what God will do, because he's going to try to get your attention. He wants to show to you, yes, I am that almighty. I am that all-powerful. And most importantly, I love you that much. Go ahead. I got to tell you, I'm sure I have dozens and dozens of stories to tell you, if I can just kind of think, you know, but I'm sure, you know, you can think of something that God had done because you simply asked. Amen? I want you to look at this scripture in John 14, 13 to 14. Won't you read that with me? Ready, go. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes. What does it say there? Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You ask in the name of Jesus. I got to tell you, that's very important, because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I just ask God. And then sometimes they tell me, I believe that God will answer me, but not necessarily Jesus. I go, oh, the Bible says ask in the name of Jesus. Come on, you know. Ask in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is the name above all names. Amen? You want to go to the the name that is above all names, the most powerful name in the universe. Go to the name of Jesus and ask God and see what God will do. Because we can be bold in asking God for specific needs and concerns. And we also have to get beyond simply saying, oh, Lord, please, just bless him or her, right? Sometimes that's all we do, right? We pray, oh, just bless them, Lord. Bless them, right? Nothing wrong with that, okay? But we got to learn to pray with specific blessings. Like I said earlier, when you do that, right, you know it's going to be from God, right? Because sometimes you may hear people pray, oh, that God would just be with somebody, right? Or, Lord, I just pray that you just be with this brother so-and-so today. Okay, once again, nothing wrong, but extend that. Okay, this is okay. Be with him. Well, we know, right? If this person has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, guess what? Yeah, God is with them already, right? So extend that. Instead, pray specifically that God will do something awesome in that person's life. Okay, pray that God will bring forth a miracle in their finances. You know, that you can pray, oh, that I pray this brother or sister will get this job that will truly bless their finances, or in their relationship that this person will find the love of their life, you know, or that their health will be blessed in every way, that they will have perfect health. That if they are sick, Father, I pray this disease will be taken away in Jesus' name. Pray specifically, because when it happens, boom, all the glory goes to God. See what I'm saying? Just don't say, oh, be with him, Lord, and bless him. Because we do that, don't we? And nothing wrong, once again, but extend it with specific prayers. And one last thing. You know, sometimes I understand, right? We just don't know how to pray for ourselves or someone who is in great need, right? So sometimes we are, or our loved ones may encounter a totally unexpected problem, and we're just so burdened by it, you know? And sometimes it hits us suddenly. You ever had a situation? Boom, it just hits you, just a huge problem, and you go, it's like you cannot breathe. You know what I'm talking about? And so much so, right? We really don't know how to pray. You're just, the word's not coming out. You know what I'm talking about here, right? I've been through situations like that. Well, it's okay, because guess what? We have a helper that is sent from God. Who is this helper? Holy Spirit of God. I want you to look at Romans 8, 26 to 27. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the what? Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. So he will intercede for us. And if you don't know how to pray, just go to the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I'm hurting. That's what I do. When I'm so hurt. I'm so like at the point of just so much grief. I just say, Lord, take over. Take over, Lord. And he comes and he intercedes with moanings and groanings. And you're going to know it's him, because suddenly your soul, you're going to feel that it is touched. It is touched deeply. And you know he's with you. And he's going to give you what you need. So not only will you be comforted, you'll be strengthened in his power and presence. Amen? It is real. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is extremely real. And I experienced it many times in my life where I just felt like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I just cried out the name of Jesus, and he came. And he gave me all that I need so that I would have great victory and success. Amen? And we got to understand, sometimes our shed tears are more than enough for God to hear us. And you can't hear a tear being shed. But once that tear just even starts forming in our eyes, just because we're just grieving or we're just totally just down and out, as soon as that tear forms, I believe God, he already knows about it. The Bible says he collects our tears in a bottle. He knows all of our hurts. He knows all of our pains. And he is with us, especially in those times. He's going to be there to comfort us. And we just got to leave it to the Holy Spirit. Whenever possible, yes, pray specifically. But if you cannot find the words, give it over to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let his presence just come upon you in such a real way. I want you to look at point number three now. It says, Hannah prayed her prayer with a positive attitude and expectance. And you know, after Hannah was accused of being drunk, right, by the priest Eli, you know, she explained the situation and she said, I'm not drunk, you know. And this is what Eli said, right, in verse 17. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something. And what does it say there? Her face was no longer downcast. It has to come to a point that as you pray, as you say, I trust in God, you cannot be keep walking around like, I trust in God. I know he's going to help me. But sometimes we do that. We tell people, okay, God's going to take care of me. I know he will, and we just keep walking around downcast. Like we say we believe, but it doesn't show, you know, in our outer appearance, right? And Hannah knew, right? She was praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who had delivered Israel from the bondage, right, that Pharaoh had upon them. And God had taken them out of the bondage and into the promised land. And she had to set her mind upon that. And she started had to think positively. And she knew in her mind that God, because he did all these things for her ancestors, yeah, he's going to do it for me too. He's going to show his power in such great and mighty ways. And she knew that God was totally capable to deliver upon her request. So she prayed expecting that God will do it. That's what we got to do. Every time you pray, you know, if you know it's according to his will, right? Yeah, expect. In your mind, there is total expectation. Yeah, my Papa God, he's going to do it. Because he knows how much I love him and how much I'm depending on him. And this is totally according to his will. And you know, God has given us so many wonderful and precious promises in his word. You know, we can claim them. You ever heard someone say, you can claim that promise? Yeah, you can. Because that promise, you think God wrote it for what? Somebody else? No, for you. As children of God, he wrote it for you. He didn't just write it because he wasn't busy that day. He said, okay, I'm just going to write some words down. No, he wrote these promises as something that he would do for his beautiful and loving children. Amen. And we can claim them and expect that God will fulfill them in our lives. And while Hannah is not claiming a promise from God, you know, from scripture, right? She didn't do that, right? But we can learn a lot from her attitude as she chose not to be downcast. As we just read, her face was no longer downcast. As she realized, okay, I fully believe in my Father God that much. So we got to pray like we mean it, okay? When we pray, remember, fill your mind with the expectation God's going to do it. My Father God, he will deliver upon his promises, and that he really will do it, and that you have to expect that he's going to keep his word, okay? Because if it is a promise of God, he's not going to lie. That's impossible. God cannot lie, right? So you just believe in your mind and heart that God will do it, and expect him to bring loved ones to Jesus Christ, that he will bring them back to his heart. As we just keep on praying, because, you know, sometimes people, you know, our loved ones, they may have drifted so far away from the Lord. Keep praying for them. Don't ever give up hope. Keep praying that God will touch their hearts and that they will come back to him. You probably heard of this godly man. His name was George Mueller, and he was known for his extremely powerful prayers. You know, in the course of his ministry, right, the orphans of England, you know, they repeatedly got like so much the money that they needed in order to keep their facility going. And, you know, George Mueller never asked for financial assistance from men. He only asked of God. Every time there was a financial need, he wouldn't say, okay, can you please help out? Can you give this much? No, he just said, God, we need this much. And sometimes he'd be very exact. I need $99.43. I'm not kidding. This is what all his writing, you know, people wrote about him. He would get it to the T, to right to the penny. I'm not kidding. This is what time and time again would happen, you know, and suddenly he would receive a check in the mail or whatever. And some people would say, oh, you know, God just put in my heart that I need to give you this exact amount. And guess what? It was something that George Mueller had asked of God. You know, once George Mueller, he was on his way to Quebec, right, for a speaking engagement. And on the deck of the ship that was to carry him to his destination, he informed the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon. And the captain simply said, no, that is totally impossible. Look outside. Do you know how dense this fog is? And no, he replied, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of life. And Mueller says, I have never missed a speaking engagement in 57 years. Oh, he's, wow, longtime minister, right? He said, let us go down into the chart room and let us pray. That's what he says. So he knelt down and he prayed one of the most simple prayers, right? Just from his heart. And when he had finished, the captain was going to pray. But Mueller put his hand on his shoulder and told him, no, don't pray. and so, you know, he's like, what? And he was kind of shocked. He was a bit surprised. And he said, as you do not believe, he will answer. As I believe he has, there is no need for you to really pray about it. So the captain was a bit surprised by his remark, but then George Mueller said, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day when I have failed to get an audience with the king to speak of his goodness and speak of his word. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you will find that the fog has gone. So the captain got up, and he opened the thing, and surely indeed the fog was gone. And on that Saturday afternoon, George Mueller kept his promised engagement, and he spoke to a huge crowd sharing the word of God. I mean, that's what faith is all about. Amen. And I got to tell you, there were times, I remember even at the park when, you know, everyone tells us, okay, it's going to be a heavy rainstorm. You know, and we're thinking, okay, should we cancel, you know? And we just, you know, decided, okay, Johnny and I said, let's just pray. Let's call everyone, just pray that we can go there because we're doing the work of the Lord and God can do it. And we've seen this I'm not kidding you, where we get to the part. One time we knew it was a little, you know, moist and it had rained a little bit. But as we got there, we set up and everything, it started to rain, right? We just started praying even harder. We actually, I'm not kidding you now. I'm not making this up. It felt like the cloud, we looked at it, was just like shifting. And it just went to the other side of the lake. And it just, you can see it raining over there, but how come we're all dry over here? You know, and it stayed like that. I'm not kidding. You can ask John Lee about this. And then when we were getting ready to pack up and leave and ready to go, we saw the rain start to come back. You remember that, Millie? And he was just like, wow. God can do this. I'm not kidding you. When you have faith to believe, just like Hannah, she had faith to believe, God, he's going to do what is impossible in the eyes of man. But because you are a faithful child, you trust in him, you believe in him, God's going to show his power in your life. He will, because that's what he does. I want you to look at Matthew 7, 7 through 10. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? You know, that's what the Bible says. If you ask, ask with the right heart, with the right motive, guess what? The door will be open. God will personally be the one to open the door for you because you have the faith to believe. You got to remember something, though. You know, God doesn't promise to always answer our prayers the way we want it. Because sometimes, yeah, we can be very specific, but you got to, you know, you ask in a way that you maybe not with the total right heart, right? Because here's the thing. God, he always promises to answer. He might not give you exactly what you want, but think about this. Who knows better? You or God? God does, right? And God always has his best in mind. So you must trust in that. Because sometimes you think, oh, but Lord, I wanted it exactly like this. Well, God says, no, this is even better. You must trust me. You got to pray with the idea that our all-powerful God, he's listening, and he hears your heart, and he's willing to act on your behalf, just as he did in the case with Hannah. It's true. When we can pray persistently, pray purposely, and pray positively, you got the makings of an extremely dangerous prayer. I mean, just follow this and see what happens. Because I'm going to tell you, I see it happen in my life, and I see it happen in, you know, other brothers and sisters' life for the ones who believe in God that much. Just watch what God will do. Let's go to the bottom line verses now. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. I know you probably heard of it because I use the scripture a lot. But why don't you read it with me in Psalm 34, 15 to 17. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all of their troubles. Praise God. And that's the name of our sermon, crying out loud. You know, that's what Hannah did. She cried out loud. That was her prayer. She cried out loud. It's not so much the words. It was deep in her heart and soul that she believed as she cried out. Guess what? Papa God heard. Because, you know, Papa God, he's very sensitive to the cries of his children. Just like any parent is, right? You hear your child crying, and boom, you're there. And even in the blink of an eye, boom. You know, I remember when Benson and Abigail, when they were young, you know, me and John Lee, we just hear a little whimper. And, you know, we're like, we go there as quickly as we can. I tell you, same with our proper God. And just crying from your heart and soul, God will take notice. And he will shine his face upon you. And I like to conclude with this video. I've shown it to you guys before, but it's so fitting. You guys remember Who remember the video I show about the baby bear cub being chased by the mountain lion? Who remember that? Nobody? Okay, well, nobody. All right, good. I'm going to show it to you. You're going to love it. So let's go and watch it. And this is just a picture, okay? With the, all I'm going to say, the baby bear cub, just think of it as that being as Hannah or you and me. And there are times, right, where we're going to be pushed around in life. The devil is going to try to show up and try to make things difficult for you. Know that someone is watching you. Guess who that is? Dancing, can you go ahead and play that, please? Praise God. Woo. You know, I'll be honest with you, when I watched this for the first time, I remember I was crying like a baby. Because I remember, you know, like my human parents, you know, how they care for me like that. But more, even more so, I remember how Papa God, I call him Papa God. You know, he is my Papa. Because he treats me like his son, his own. And when I was hurting, when I was just like confused or just down and out, he was there. And I thought I had to fight the battle on my own. I just looked around, and when I looked behind me, I realized God was right there. And you know, the enemy, he will try to do whatever he can to harass us, to push us around, to make life miserable for us. But what you got to realize, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you because you're my own. And as we remember that, yeah, we could cry out, ah, like the little baby bear, right? Realize, oh, he's right there behind you. And he's going to help you through it. He's going to show you, child, you are mine. You're my precious child, and I love you so much. I'm always going to help you. You must cry out to him, just like how Hannah did, right? This is how this can become an extremely dangerous prayer. Because, yeah, all the works of the devil are about to be crushed. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen? Let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message, knowing, Father, that truly your Holy Spirit spoke this message into all of us. And we realize, Lord, just like how Hannah, she prayed with great purpose, great heart, great intent, believing in you, trusting in you. Father, you answered her and you provided what her heart desired. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I just heard the word of God. And I realized there were times I didn't fully trust in him. I tell people that, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in his son, Jesus Christ. But when troubles may come in my life, I start to wonder if truly there is a God or if God will really help me. Well, we know we stand on the promises of God. And sometimes we must wait because God is wanting to know if your heart truly belongs to him. And when we wait, it shows to God that, yeah, I'm believing in him regardless of what may happen in my life. That as I wait upon the Lord, he renews my strength and he gives me the victory as I keep waiting for him. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, yes, that's me, Pastor Ben. I realize I need to trust in him more. That as I call on the name of Jesus, I expect that God will deliver upon his promises, that he will not let me down, because I trust in him, because I love him with all of my heart. And if this is the cry of your heart right now, saying, yes, that is me, Pastor Ben, I will make it a point that I will come in total surrender to him. My heart fully belongs to him, and whatever may come forth in my life, I'm holding on to Jesus. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Anyone else saying, that is me, Father. That is the cry of my heart. I'm going to trust in you more, more and more. Praise you, Father. All right. You put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, you see in all the hands that were raised. But most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I want to depend on you with all my heart. I want to trust in you. Just like how Hannah, when she prayed that prayer, she expected that you would deliver. Lord, I'm going to expect that you're going to deliver upon your promises in my life. And no matter what may happen, I'm trusting in you because, yes, your best will always come forth. Will always come forth as I fix my eyes on your son, Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of my faith. Father, I thank you, we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory.